Welcome to Torti Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiatives. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Kaf Zayin, Chapter 27. Perek Kaf Zayin continues Yecheskel's nevuah about Tzur. It is the second of the three prekim that talk about Tzur's downfall. Perek 26 discussed the sins of Tzur and what would happen to them when the king of Babel comes. Now Perek 27 is a long and beautiful kina, a eulogy, about the fall of Tzur. Unlike the four nations discussed in Perek 25, who we are told only of their sin and downfall in a few psukim each, Tzur has a long description in Perek 26 and now a kina in Perek 27. The kina doesn't discuss the relationship between Tzur and Bnei Israel. It really exists in a bubble itself. It discusses the details of the greatness of Tzur, how powerful they were, and then at the end, how low they fell. The kina, according to Rav Amnon Bazak, serves to show that the impact of the Chorban and its after effects on other nations is set in stone and will happen dramatically. So the Chorban and the rise of Babel doesn't only impact the Jews, but rather Nebuchadnezzar is coming for the whole area, and that actually is what Yirmiyahu said would happen when he talks about in Perek Kaf Hei, the Nebuchadnezzar coming and capturing everybody. And this is one of those countries. The kina itself is actually beautiful, and it uses beautiful poetic language, parallelisms, and metaphors to describe the island nation of Tzur. And it starts off in Psukim Aleph through Zayin 1 to 7, talking about Tzur in one long metaphor. It describes Tzur, who was this island shipping nation who really ruled the seas, discussing it as itself as a ship. So it's this long and drawn out metaphor. And it starts off in Pasuk Bet, Ata ben adam sa al tzur kina. You, son of man, that's Yecheskel, of course, say a lamentation about Tzur. Va'amartel at Tzur, and say to Tzur, Hayoshevet al mavo'ot yam, rochelet amim al yim rabim. You, Tzur, you sit at the entryway of the sea. You are the merchant of the people of many islands. And so says Hashem, Ko Amar Hashem, Tzur, Atamart Ani Klilat Yofi. I am perfect in my beauty. Belev Yamim Gevulayach. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Bonayach Kalalu Yofiach. Your builders have perfected your beauty. So just imagining Tzur as a boat, as actually as a boat, and talks about how you're perfect in how you were built. Your builders just built you so beautifully. And the kina goes on to describe the exquisite material that was used to make this ship, each type of material coming from somewhere different. Wooden planks made of fir trees from Sinar, cedars from Lebanon for the mast, oaks of Bashan for the oars, boxwood from the island of Kittim to make the benches, and those benches were also inlaid with ivory, embroidered fine linen from Egypt for the sail. Each piece of the ship was thought out. Each piece of the ship was not just functional, but a work of art. And the language that describes the ship mirrors the beauty of the ship itself. The psukim using this very rich language and using this parallelism, this tikbolet form. And then we move from the ship to talk about the crew. Psukim Chet Yud Aleph discusses the crew of the ship. And here too, only the best of many countries come together to make this ship with rowers from Sidon and Arvad, captains from Tzur, and elders from Gebal to do the maintenance. Paras and Lud were put into the army to provide protection to the ship. And this mashal of the ship is not just fitting to show how Tzur ruled the seas. Obviously, their business came from shipping. They were an island nation. But what Tzur was made of, all the different parts coming from all the different countries, everything that it had came from other places and the best of other places. Because of its prowess at sea, it was able to make itself into the best version of itself as it took from all the different places that it traded with. So you get this certain sense of the cosmopolitan nature of Tzur. Sometimes an island can be isolated, but not Tzur. They totally went against this isolation, and instead they were so contacted with the larger world and took from that larger world to make themselves even more beautiful, even stronger. Psukim Yudbet through Kafhei 12-25, we change from this mashal of the ship, where we discuss the ship, but we know we're talking about Tzor, to talking about Tzor itself. And we talk about all the different countries that Tzor would trade with. So now we understand why the ship was made up of material and people from so many other countries. It really means that Tzor traded with so many other countries. And we talk about all of the delicacies of each country, how Tzor would go and get it and bring it back to their home country, causing their home country, causing Tzor itself to be beautified and enriched by the best that the world has to offer. The section begins and ends with Tarshish, the great port city that Yonah ran to in order to escape his prophecy. So Tarshish is discussed in Pasuk Yudbet in 12 and also in 25. In between, 20 countries are mentioned, including Yehuda and Yisrael, who traded from across the ancient Near East, each one trading with Tzor what its country produced best. This ship of Tzor becomes not only an economic entity, but this cosmopolitan connector between countries. And Tzor, in a way, brought the world together. So this last pasuk in the section, in pasuk 25, ends with an overall assessment of the ships of Tzor. And it says, "Oniot Tarshish sharotayich ma'avarich ma'ravich v'timal'i v'techvedi ma'od b'lev yamim." The ships of Tarshish were your caravans for your merchandise, and you were replenished and made very glorious in the hearts of the seas. Tarshish was the height of port, was the greatest port city of the time, and those were your caravans for the merchandise. So you just hear the language that discussed the ships of Tzor as caravans filled with merchandise. You were so glorious. You were so respected in the heart of the seas. And that pasuk is the climax of the greatness and the power of Tzor. And then we shift. At the height of his power, now we come to the downfall of Tzor, and we're back to the metaphor of the ship in Pasuk 26, Kafav. Bayamim rabim hevi'uch hashatim otach. Your rowers brought you into great waters. Ruach hakadim shvarich b'lev yamim. And the east wind broke you in the heart of the seas. Now, it's hard to know exactly what these great waters are that the rowers brought them into, isn't the point of this parak, but it's clear that this east wind, this is something that we've seen before in Yechezkel. This east wind is Hashem. It's brought by Hashem to break Tzor that was on top of the world and now bring it low. And you have this pasuk that describes the breaking of the ship. Ruach HaKadim Shavreich, the east wind broke you while you were in the water, and the ship now is going to sink. Once the ship is in stormy water, everything that was in it, all of its riches, cannot save it, and it just dumps everything into the sea. Pasuk Kav Zayin, Honech Azvonayich Ma'arvich Melachayich V'chovlayich. Your riches, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners, machzikei bidkech v'orvei maravech, kol anshei machamtech. So all the things that you had in it, your mariners, your pilots, your repairers, the dealers of your merchandise, everything that was in you, kol anshei machamtech asher bach, all the people that fight for you, that protect you, b'chol kahalech, all your whole company, your all the people asher b'tochech that are in you, you they just sink. They fall into the heart of the sea on the day of your ruin. All of the things that it had gathered from around the world, all the riches, all the warriors, they mean nothing when a boat is going to capsize. They can't buy their way out. They can't fight their way out. They all end up at the bottom of the ocean. And actually, no one rejoices as the fall of Tzor. All the people who piloted and worked on the ship, they're devastated. And they cry at her downfall. Pasuk Kavtet, Vayuradu me'uniyotem, kol tafshei mashot malachim, kol chavlei hayam ata'aretz ya'amodu. All the people who held the oars, all the people, the pilots and the sailors, they come down from their ships, from their other ships. They stand there on the land, meaning they dock. And v'yishmiu alech v'kolam, Vizaku Mara, they cry out bitterly. You hear their voices. Vayalu Afar Roshem, they put ashes on their head. Be'ifer Yifalashu, they wallow themselves. in the ashes and the dust. They're really disappointed. The people liked the other countries. They liked Tsur. They liked what it stood for. They liked having a way to sell their goods and get goods in return. Tsur really was their avenue to connection with the rest of the world. The Kinah ends with a complete turnaround. Socharim ba'amim sarku alayich v'lahut hayit ve'einich al olam. And actually, after they cry and things go on and you stay low, the merchants among the people, they hiss at you. You've become a terror and you will no longer be einich ad olam. You stop existing forever. And now Tsur goes from being the greatest on top of the world to being something that people look down on, that they hiss at. And it's not clear why Yechezkel spent so much time describing Tsur and its downfall, even going so far to compose this intricate kinah about how high she flew, or I should say she sailed, and how far she fell. We proposed one idea last perek. Rav Yaakov Meidan, though, proposes another idea on this perek. According to Josephus Flavius in Antiquities of the Jews, Tsur was not actually conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. He did besiege it, and he did try to capture it, but ultimately he was unable to. It was only at the time of Alexander the Great, even after the Persian Empire. Remember, we're in the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, and then there's the Persians and then the Greeks. So basically Josephus talks about that only in the Greeks was Alexander the Great able to capture Tsur, and he was able to do it by building a land bridge to connect Tsur to the mainland and then bring over his armies. At that point, Tsur was completely captured and ceased to exist. So Rav Meidan suggests that perhaps that's why Yechezkel spends so long talking about Tsur's strength. In his time, it was actually still strong and difficult to capture. And maybe because of all of its international connections and wealth, along with its protective geography and its protective waters, and it really was not captured yet at this time. So Yechezkel therefore speaks so long and powerfully because he wants his people to know that yes, Tsur is strong, but eventually it too will fall. If not now, then at some point, their strength will not save them forever. So just to recap, Perek Kaf Vav speaks about Tsur's sins, how they delighted at the downfall of Yehuda, but Perek Kaf Zion describes Tsur as a ship, one that had a very high level of strength, but will eventually sink and no longer be. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilo Nishma Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.